Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the day you've given us, for blessing us to be able to come together today on this beautiful Sabbath morning.
Yes.
I pray that you bless us with your Holy Spirit to lead us in all truth and understanding as we enter into a study of your word on this Sabbath day. Bless us to be able to receive it, and bless the one who has to deliver the message from the crown of his head, soles of his feet.
Yes.
Bless our hearts and our ears. The Bible says, see and hear, let it enter into your hearts, convert and be healed.
Yes.
And bless us today with that healing of the Holy Spirit, that our sorrow might become joy, and the things we fear, we might have understanding of.
Yes.
All these things ask in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Home is to the Lord.
Let his name be praised.
I want to say praise the Lord to Brother Coleman. He gave a beautiful breakdown in the Word today. And I felt funny erasing what he taught on today. The sanctuary, he gave an awesome breakdown. Actually, it was the time that we were supposed to do the review. But I had to run back home, and I took the review with me. And so he said I had to make up a review. And I think people were glad that I took it with me, because what he broke down was truly awesome and inspiring. Give amen to Elder Coleman.
Amen.
Today's message is, fear not. Fear is good. The Bible says that we should fear and we should not fear. We should fear and we should not fear. It's one of those truths in the Bible that's so like an oxymoron or
right.
A paradox.
Right.
The Bible says God has not
given us the spirit of fear,
but power, love,
and a sound mind.
Okay. The Bible said God has not given us the spirit of fear,
right.
But power, love.
But yet he's given us the spirit of fear.
Right. Fear God. Give glory to him. The hour of his judgment.
Oh, do you,
the Bible said fear is good.
And keep his commandments.
Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 11. In Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1, the word of God talks about the coming of Jesus as the branch.
Come on.
Yep.
The Bible says that the horn came out of Jesse. That horn, therefore, is David. And that horn brought forth the branch. And notice, it's in capital, right?
Yep.
Well, then that's talking about Jesus. And the Bible says he was anointed with seven spirits. Come on, what are those seven spirits? Go ahead, Elder, read. What verse?
Starting at verse 1.
Read.
And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord.
The Bible says that Jesus will have the Spirit of the Lord, and the last of these seven spirits is fear. Now, they're not seven Holy Ghosts.
Make it plain, Pastor.
But these are the characteristics of the Spirit. Now, the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible talks about the fruits of the Spirit. These are the characteristics of the Spirit. So there's three things in reference to the Spirit of God. What are they? The gifts, the fruit, love, joy, peace, and the characteristics. So there are three things in reference to the Holy Spirit. And the Bible shows where these seven spirits are, not just in the Old Testament. But let's go to Revelation chapter 5. When the judgment scene, the Bible said the thrones are cast down. And in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9-10, the Ancient of Days did sit. We see the same thing in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, where the Bible says the throne was set up and one did sit. But notice what it says about Jesus as the Lamb of God. Let's pick up at verse 1. Go ahead and read.
And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne.
And that's the Father, the Ancient of Days. Read.
A book written within and on the backside.
Now this book is a scroll with seven seals. It's the judgment book. Read.
Sealed with seven seals.
That means seven dispensations are going to be judged or reviewed before God. Read.
And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice.
Read.
Who is worthy to open the book?
That means who is worthy to pass judgment upon those who are written in the book. Read.
And to loose the seals thereof.
And review the different dispensations of mankind.
Read. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book.
Come on.
That means nobody can bring forth judgment. Read.
Neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy.
The reason why he wept is because he's going to be judged.
Hello.
Read.
Were found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon.
We're talking about fear not, but fear is good. Read.
And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David,
come on. Prevailed. Now wait, the who?
The root.
We just saw that.
Isaiah.
Am I right?
Come on.
Go ahead, read.
Have prevailed to open the book.
Because our judgment is appointed unto him. Read.
And to loose the seven seals thereof.
To examine all the dispensational periods historically of man. Read.
And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts,
go ahead.
And in the midst of the elders,
read.
Stood a lamb, as if it had been slain.
That's Jesus, read.
Having seven horns.
Having what?
Seven horns.
Now note this, everybody.
Come
every
on.
Every time you see a beast that has multiple horns, because God works consistently in a pattern. Every time you see a beast with multiple horns, like the beast that come up out of the earth with two lamb-like horns, or the beast that had, well, that was lamb-like, he had 10 horns, or the leopard that had 4 horns, or the ram that had 2 horns in Daniel chapter 8. Every time you see a beast with multiple horns, I mean more horns than just one, each horn represented something different. So I've heard Bible expositors say that the lamb has 7 horns because scripture says he's the horn of our salvation. And he has 7 horns because he has 7 means perfect, and he has perfect salvation. But that would be man's wisdom. Because every time you read scripture, when a beast had multiple horns, each horn represented something different. And therefore, that would have to stand true for the lamb. Therefore, what do these 7 horns on Jesus represent? Since each one represents something different. And he's the horn of our salvation. Therefore, there are 7 phases to our salvation. Because he's the messenger of the
covenant.
And horn means authority and
power.
That means he has authority and power to bring forth salvation with the first horn. He has authority and power to bring forth salvation with the second horn. He has authority and power to bring forth salvation with the third horn and the fourth and the fifth horn. And therefore we look at these 7 horns and we can't figure it out. 7 phases of his authority and power. But the only way we can come to an understanding of what these 7 horns, because we want to learn about Jesus. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Then the Bible said we need to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Come on.
Then the Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God.
Come on.
And since the Bible talks about Jesus, all you're doing is talking about and studying about Jesus. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Jesus said himself, search the scriptures for they speak about me. I come in the fullness of the lion. And so when we eat the book, I did find thy word and I did eat it. And it tasted like honey, the Bible says. Revelation 10, the Bible said, the book that talked about Jesus tasted like honey. Why? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's sweet like a honeycomb. So when you study the Bible, you study about Jesus. And the Bible says 7 things about Jesus that nobody is addressing. Go to church and they just talk about Jesus as a prophet. He walked upon the water. He fed the 5,000, and then he's going to come back as a king. There's only two words. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's one horn. Then the Bible says he's coming back as King of kings and Lord of lords. That's two horns. But where are the other five horns? The only way you can find out what the other five horns are, you have to see what the spirits are. Woo! The Bible says he has seven eyes. And these are the seven spirits of the Lord.
That's what the Bible says.
That went throughout all of the earth. And each spirit that went forth, each spirit that went forth, seven, how many?
Seven.
Each spirit that went forth, raised up a horn. Each spirit that came forth, raised up a horn. So let's see what the seven spirits are. And we'll know what horn was raised up. Huh?
Come on.
Read that again, Elder. Continue.
Having seven horns.
Seven horns.
And seven eyes.
Read.
Which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth.
The Bible says that Jesus has seven eyes and seven horns. And the seven eyes are the seven spirits that go throughout all of the earth. That means Jesus, Aaron, is looking throughout all of the earth with seven eyes, trying to see who has his seven spirits. Isaiah says what these seven spirits are. The Bible says the branch is going to come and seven spirits will anoint him. That means he has the spirit. Do you all know these spirits by heart? The Bible says the spirit of God, which is always the spirit of power. Jesus said to his disciples, go and tarry in the upper room till ye be endued with power from on high. The Bible said the spirit fell upon David. He had power to slay the lion and the bear. The Bible said the spirit of God fell upon Samson and he slew 1,000 Philistines. So whenever the Bible talks about the spirit of God, it always makes mention that this is the spirit of power. Someone said the spirit of God is always the spirit of love. No, when the Bible says the spirit of God, it always means power. Amen. Go and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. That's what he told 500. 380 left. So, Jesus had first the spirit of power. Come on, are you with me?
Amen.
What is the name of the sermon?
Fear not.
Fear not.
Fear is good.
Fear is good. That's a question mark. Come on, say it with me. Fear not.
Fear not.
Fear is good.
Fear is good.
If the first spirit is the spirit of power, that means the spirit of power raised up Tyrus, the firstborn. I'm talking about Jesus.
Come on.
Are you with me?
Make it plain.
Come on, walk with me through the scriptures. You know that old saying, let the finger do it, walk in. It was an ad on TV for the Yellow Pages.
Right. Let's do it with the Bible.
Let's do it with the Bible. The first spirit brought forth. The first spirit brought forth the first horn. And the first horn was raised up by the spirit of power. So the first horn had to be the spirit of God. Come on, say amen.
Come on.
And the Bible says, come on with me. Revelation chapter 1. What did I say?
Revelation 1.
Let's pick it up in verse 6.
And hath made us kings.
And has made us
kings.
And priests.
And preached. Unto God.
Unto God.
And his Father.
And his dad. I asked somebody, did you know that God had a father?
They're not ready for it.
If God had a father, and my sister's on it.
They're not ready for that.
And you know what she's saying in her mind? If I hadn't read it, I would have said, what is he talking about? Read it one more time, verse 6.
Oh, and hath made us kings.
And has made us
kings.
And
priests.
Preach.
Unto God
and his Father.
That's what it said.
I showed that to some Jehovah's Witness sisters, and I used their Bible, the New World Translation to read it. And they looked at each other, and one of them said, I didn't know that was in here. The other one said, I didn't know it either. And they start fussing. And I sat there.
They were fussing with themselves.
And then they stopped fussing because they realized they were fussing with each other. Then together they looked at me and said, is it all right if we bring some of our elders to see you? You know, my response was, bring the whole kingdom home. I read from your Bible, not from the King James Version. You see, your individuals, the people that changed the word up in the kingdom hall, forgot to change that.
They forgot.
They forgot to change that one.
Yeah, forgot. Yeah.
They forgot.
And made us kings and priests unto God
and His Father.
And His Father. Therefore, the first spirit that raised up for the horn of authority and power is the fact that Jesus is God. John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And the Bible says that when Jesus is coming back in Revelation 19, He's called the Word of God. Woo! Yep. Woo hoo! Jesus is God.
They ready for it.
The Bible makes mention that in Psalms 24, when Christ went up to heaven, the angels shouted out, they were at the gates, who is this? And the angel that was lifting him says, he's the King of glory.
Hello!
Mighty in battle.
Mighty!
Open up the gates. And those at the gates, you know what the pen of inspiration said? That one of the individuals that was at the gate was Moses. Say, who is this?
Yeah.
Who is this?
Huh?
Moses.
Come on. Who is this?
Because you know he was up in heaven.
Come on now.
I can imagine that Moses said, I just talked to you a few days ago.
Huh?
And I encouraged you on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now you a bad man because you've been whooped the devil in heaven, and now you whooped him on earth, and you're coming back up here sitting at the right hand of glory. Come on, say amen.
That's right. That's right.
Fear not.
Hello.
Fear not. Because I was just like you. I was born in the likeness of sinful flesh, but don't fear. Because I'm up here with my Father and praying my name. And everything will be all right.
That's what it says.
Pray in my name.
Uh-huh.
And I'll wipe the tears from your eyes.
That's what he said.
Pray in my name.
Come on.
And I'll make the demons step back and leave you alone.
That's right.
Pray in my name.
Come on.
And ask, the Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace. The Bible says, speak those things that are as if they are and ask in my name. And I will give you. It didn't say I'll give you your needs. I'll supply your needs. You need food. You need that. I'll give you your needs. Your needs are supplied. No. He said, I'll give you the desire
of your heart.
Woo! Yeah.
That's right.
I wanted a Pinto, but he gave me something a little bit better. I wanted a flesh, you know, this one, and he gave me something a little bit better. Come on, say amen.
That's
amen.
Right.
Say, he gave me.
He gave me.
Something.
Something.
Or a little bit better.
A little bit better.
I'll give you the desire of your heart.
Come on now.
Uh-huh. I'm just getting back. I got a slice of bread and a glass of water. No, the Lord says, I'll make you the head
and not the
and
tail.
Not the tail. I'll bless you in this life and in the next life. Tenfold.
Yeah, hundredfold.
And the thing that I like about that is it says, I'll bless you in this life.
Well, that's right, man.
Tenfold. Yeah, hundredfold. No, I don't have to be at the end. I don't have to be the last one.
Not even in this
life. Because my daddy owns the cattle.
A thousand years. Come on.
I'm saying, I wouldn't tell you. The Bible says in Hebrews, come on. Hebrews chapter 1, finish reading. What verse?
You were in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6.
Oh, Revelation 1, verse 6. Oh, yeah. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 1.
Hebrews chapter 1, verse.
Pick it up in verse 5.
For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son?
Now when Jesus went back up in heaven, the Father says, which one of you angels, listen to this,
Come on!
Listen to this preacher. Which one of you angels is my son? God, Jesus ascended up into heaven. He walked through the gates, Charles. Then he walked through the angels. Come on now. And I imagine that the Father was what?
Sitting back in his glory.
And I imagine that he saw his son walking through the angels. And I imagine that the Father went like this. Which one of you angels?
It is my son. They all stepped back.
Come on now. And this is what I read to the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, they can't touch me.
From their book. Finish reading.
For unto which of the angels said he at any time?
Which of the angels at any time?
Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee.
That's when Jesus ascended back up in heaven. After he wiped that dust of eyes, dust of death off his eyes and brushed it off of his
shoulders.
It came forth in the newness of
life.
Like they said when he rose up, oh death, where is your sting this morning?
Uh-huh.
Oh grave, where is thy victory? Spirit of prophecy said to Zion of Ages that when Jesus came out of the tomb, after Gabriel said, wake up, your father calls you. It said that those angels that were guarding the tomb flew down and prostrated themselves in front of the tomb when Jesus stepped out. And they were shouting, worthy, worthy,
woo-hoo,
glory,
that's
hallelujah,
that's what they said,
and glory. And Jesus just stood there.
You're doing right.
David with lightning in his face was on his face. Oh, and notice this. Pen of Inspiration said that God sent the mightiest, the generals. It was about 30 angels. They were the baddest things up in heaven. About 30 angels were all the generals.
Uh-oh.
And the top angels. And Gabriel, the Bible said Raphael, and all of them, they were down there. And they were the baddest angels. You know where those angels were? Prophecy says that the angels were off to the side, just above the tree lines, looking. And Satan sent his strongest demons.
Yeah, yeah.
And his strongest demons were in front of the tomb.
Yeah, right.
I imagine they looked at each other. And I imagine that one of the demons whispered to the other demon, why did Lucifer go?
He's scared.
Don't go there.
I got you.
Got that too.
You scared.
You don't let him come out.
No, don't let him.
Go.
Uh-huh.
Strongest demons went.
Uh-huh.
Why do you think Lucifer did
go? He's scared.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. I got business to attend to.
Yeah,
and on the third day, Gabriel came down. And the Bible said that when he came down, he was such a powerful angel. It said that there was an earthquake at his presence. His skin was striking. And one of the angels that were with the throne of angel and general angels, one of the angels broke loose and joined Gabriel and came down. The demons looked up and saw Gabriel and one of the baddest angels coming down. And they lit out, took off running.
Whoa!
We
out of here!
We go! You got more sense than this?
The Bible said 100 Roman soldiers saw Gabriel coming down. And the Bible said they fell on the ground shaking.
Like dead men.
Uh-huh. And the angels went in front of Gabriel and rolled the stone. Gabriel stepped in and said, Son of God, your father called for me.
Uh-huh.
Get up. Woo! Stepped out of the tomb.
Uh-huh.
And all those general angels saw their faces. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
Come on, Pastor.
King of Kings!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
And Lord of Lords!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
chapter 1, verse 5, which one of you angels is my son?
Amen.
Read. You see, the whole witnesses say, we all are sons of God. But I showed them this, and it kind of messed them up.
Come on now.
Begotten means he's a part of me. Jesus is the begotten. Woo! What did you just say?
Only
begotten. We all are sons of God, you know.
But only
begotten. Finish reading.
For unto which of the angels said he at any time,
read,
thou art my son.
Read.
This day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father.
Let's just say again. Because in John 3:16, Joshua, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The father turned his back on his son and said, I've given you to mankind. But when Jesus went back up in heaven, he says, again, I'm your father. Again, you are who? Man.
Come on now.
Again.
Uh-huh.
I'm your father. Again. You're my son. Spirit of prophecy said that when Jesus stood in front of the Father stood up and wrapped his arms around Jesus and said, I found no fault in you.
That's a bad name.
I always do what pleases my daddy. And the Bible says the same spirit that God gave his son, he's given to us. And we cry with the spirit of adoption. Abba.
Father.
Rabboni.
Adonai. Uh-huh.
Say with me, everybody. I got a daddy.
I got a daddy.
I got a father.
I got a father.
Who loves me.
Who loves me.
So much.
So much.
He gave his eldest son.
He gave his eldest son.
And I'm wrapped it in.
And I'm a
son too.
And I'm a
daughter too. That first horn, Christ is God.
Oh, by himself.
That first horn, Christ is God. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 12. Come on. Genesis chapter 22. God told Abraham, wait until he was 100 years old before he had a son.
Look at that.
Yeah. And promise Abraham, to your seed I will fill the earth with the promise of which. But then he finally had a son at 100 years old. And then the Lord says, Abraham, go and slay him. I want you to know how it feels, Abraham, to give up your only son. Mm-hmm. Now you go do it. Slay Isaac. Can I give you the definition of fear?
Yes.
Can I give you the definition
Make
of fear?
Make it plain.
Go ahead.
Abraham had more fear of being separated from
God
than he had being separated from
his son
Isaac. Because being separated from the Father, I have no hope.
There is no hope.
But being separated from my son, God can come down and say, Isaac, wake up.
Yes.
Amen.
Or if he's burnt to ashes, he'll say to his molecule, come back.
That's right.
And Isaac will come back to life. But then the father would look at Abraham and say, I just want to see you. If you obey. The Bible says obedience is better than
sacrifice.
Go ahead, finish reading.
Genesis 22:12. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest.
No! Why did he say, now I know, Abraham, you love me?
No!
No.
Read.
I know that thou fearest.
Now I know, Abraham. That we
thou fearest
God. The Lord says, Abraham, don't do the boy no harm. I was just setting up a type of how my son's gonna die. And I wanted to see how much you love me. But now I know that thou fearest God. Do you know the Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil? Abraham, you have no fear being separated from me. Abraham was like this. A fear of being separated from my God. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, I have fear you leaving me.
Come on.
I don't want you to leave me. Jesus wasn't fearful of dying. He could have died 1,000 times. He was fearful of his Father
leaving him.
And when he was on the cross, he cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And notice what he said, my God, the Father, why have you left me? My God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father, why have you withdrawn yourself from me? What did David say in Psalms 51? David said in Psalms 51, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, that I don't commit the great transgression. If you lose the Holy Spirit, you're lost. Therefore, Jesus didn't just die a physical death, Sister Tina. He died a spiritual death. Jesus didn't just die for my sins. He went to hell for me.
That's right. That's right.
Can I say it again?
That's right.
Jesus didn't just physically die that my soul would be saved. He went to hell for me. He experienced a lost soul. And he experienced God leaving him. And Pen of Inspiration said, Jesus really felt at one point that God hated sin so much that he really would be lost. Can I say that again?
Make it plain, Pastor.
Jesus really felt that God hated sin so much that he would really be lost.
Look at Jesus.
Jesus didn't just die for our sins. Jesus experienced being lost that I might be saved. Came down that I might go up. Wept that my tears might be wiped away. Abandoned by the Father that I might be drawn to the Father. He wept that my tears, huh?
Come on.
He was abandoned. He said, Eloi, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And remember that movie. Have you ever seen that movie called The Passion of the Christ? And when Jesus died, a teardrop fell from heaven. And when that teardrop in the movie, that was tough. When that teardrop fell from heaven, it hit the ground. And there was an earthquake from a teardrop. Come on. Woo! There was an earthquake from a teardrop. Into thine hands I commend my spirit. Father, it's finished. Which one of you is my son? Keep on reading, brother. No. I told him to go to Genesis. So I'm going to just have to quote from memory. This is what it said in Hebrews chapter 5. It said that when the son walked up to the father, he said, therefore God, even thy God, have anointed thee with the oil of gladness. I have anointed you with the oil of gladness above all of your brethren, all of the fellow angels. Therefore God, even thy God has anointed you. That was the Father saying, I'm God, and I have anointed you, O God. And then he says, sit at my right hand, because I'm God and you're God. That's rough. But what is the next spirit? The next spirit is what? The spirit of power. And in Isaiah 11, it's the spirit of wisdom. What did the Bible say in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1? And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble that never was. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Every everyone is found written in the book. Do you know some people say, well, Michael is just an angel. But every time Michael came around, y'all, somebody was coming about the grave. The Bible says, well, the archangel came in June, and Moses came up. In Thessalonians, it said, and the archangel, the voice of God, the trumpet of the archangel, and the dead in Christ came up. The Bible says in Daniel 12, and at that time, young Michael came, and many came out of the grave. Oh, the Bible says that when Michael came and stood before Joshua, and Joshua said, are you for us or for the enemy? And Jesus says, yeah, I ain't for you. I ain't for the enemy. I'm for righteousness. And the Bible said that Joshua dropped his sword and fell on the ground. And Jesus said to Joshua, take your shoes off. The ground you're standing on is holy. But when he fell in front of Gabriel, Gabriel didn't say nothing about you. He said, get up and don't worship me. Worship God. I'm your fellow servant and of the prophets. But Gabriel was a bad man. But as tough as he was, he said, get up and don't worship me. But when they bowed down and worshiped the angel Michael, Michael means one like God. The Bible said that not only did the Lord let Joshua continue to worship, but he said, take your shoes off. The Bible said the angel was in the bush in Exodus chapter 3. And the angel spoke and said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses, take your shoes off. Here, two times the angel said,
take your shoes.
Joshua, take your shoes off. Moses, take your shoes off. Because you're sitting in the presence
of God,
of holiness.
Personified.
So therefore, Prince, these seven spirits raised up these seven horns. And I'll see that I'm going to have to continue this. I can't continue the whole thing. Psalms 40 verse 3. Come on. Psalms 40 and verse what? Psalms 40 and verse 3. The Bible says something in reference to our subject today. Fear not. Fear is good. Go ahead, pick it up in verse 3.
And he hath put a new song in my mouth.
A what?
A new song in my mouth.
Read.
Even praise unto our God.
Uh-huh.
Many shall see it and fear.
Many shall what?
Fear.
See it
and
don't
fear.
Don't anybody see it, brother. Many shall what?
See it
and
fear.
But how does it start off? He put a new song.
In my mouth.
In my mouth. There's only one group, Joshua. There's only one group, Shemari.
Uh-oh.
That knows this song.
Uh-oh. No one can
the 124.
Thousand.
And the Bible, this is a prophecy about the future. Who put a new song
in my mouth.
And they shall see it and fear. Watch me as I build this thing up.
Come on.
The new song that God has given me made me feel the Lord. What does it say in Ecclesiastes chapter 12? Ecclesiastes just before, what is that? Just before Psalms and then Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's pick it up at verse 13. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Are we keeping Sunday on the Sabbath today?
Sabbath.
Ecclesiastes chapter 12, let's begin at verse 13. Go ahead.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
Whoa!
Come on!
Wait a minute. I'm writing on the board again.
This is it right here.
Let us hear the conclusion
of the whole
matter. Everybody talking about praising the Lord. The Methodist talking about praising the Lord. The Catholic saying, say five Hail Marys and six Our Fathers. Pentecostal saying, say ye God, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-da. And the Lutheran saying, well, every religion got their little idiosyncrasies. But the Bible says, and it's said by the wisest man in the world. This is the conclusion.
Of the whole matter.
Look out now.
Talk to me. Go ahead.
Fear God!
Fear God! Say conclusion! conclusion.
Conclusion.
Ask me why.
Why?
For that's the sum of the matter. Ask me why.
Why?
For that's the end of the sentence. Ask me why.
Why?
Because after you've done your little thing and after you've done your little jig, the Bible said the whole matter, the conclusion of it all.
Your whole life.
You better fear God.
You better know. You better recognize.
I told my cousin, I said, you know, when Jesus was in the garden, he was sweating blood. And he said, let this come pass. And I said, you know, Jesus was fearful of his father. And my cousin Fabian said, Jesus ain't fear nobody. He ain't fear nobody. Jesus ain't never fear. I said, read the Bible. Blood. He was trembling.
That's fear.
God the Father backed up from him. Spirit of prophecy and the pen of inspiration say he feared being separated from God's spirit, that he would fall short and he would forever be separated from God. The same thing that Abraham felt, forever be separated from God, and he feared. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear that brings torment, but God has given us a healthy fear.
You better believe it.
Healthy fear is when daddy drives up in the up in the driveway and the kids have been obedient and they see daddy drive up in the driveway, Charles, and they say, daddy's home!
Daddy's home!
He always brings us candy and gives it to daddy's home! Am I right?
Yeah, that's one.
But the mama said, you've been a bad boy. You didn't clean your room. You been disobedient? I'm going to tell your daddy when he comes home. And daddy drives up in the driveway. And the kid said, daddy's home!
Okay, to you!
Hey, hi!
Oh! We all
in the right?
Come on!
Can I ask you a question?
Make it plain.
What kind of fear would you have when God comes back?
Well,
scared to death.
What kind of fear would you have when God comes back? Well,
what
to
say fear?
Scared. Would it be the loving fear?
Scared.
Or the fear.
This is the whole duty of man.
Fear God.
And I will continue this next week, but in Genesis chapter 42 and verse 18, it said, Joseph feared God and turned his back on that beautiful woman. Exodus 18 verse 21 said, men of truth fear God. The Bible says in Job 1 verse 9, Satan said, he don't fear you. Take away his riches.
Uh-oh.
When God stepped back and took away the heads of the protective angels, and the demons came down and killed his nine kids, took away his cattle, smote him with a plague, the Bible said, Joseph said, where's my razor?
Hello!
My nine kids are dead.
Turned over that plague.
He was one of the richest men that stole all my cattle and my sheep.
Joe,
where's my razor?
Satan.
He had servants because he was rich. I imagine that the servants and his wife, Joshua, said, why do you want a razor? They gave him his razor. And he began to shake his head. And back then, if he didn't have a beard, he shaved his beard. Then he said to one of his servants, give me that sackcloth. Put it over his head and fell on his knees.
Uh-oh.
And said, Nick, I came into the world.
And
Nick,
I
leave the world.
Blessed
be the name of the Lord. Don't be slaying me.
Yet!
Woo!
Yet shall I trust.
Don't be slain.
Yet!
No trials will come.
No tears weeping and
doing for nothing.
Come on.
Though my riches are gone, let me shave my head and shave my beard. Let me tell you something, God. Let me tell you something. Slay me, and I'll praise your name. Trials come to make me strong. Beaten and proof for a night. But joyful in the morning. Those that sow in tears shall weep in joy. How many have problems? How many have trials in their life? How many have asked, why, God? Why? Why?
Hello?
Do you know what the New Testament says? Why do you look upon it as something strange when fiery trials come upon you? It's to prove it. I say it's to prove it.
Yes, right.
It's to prove it.
Your faith.
Of your faith. Sometimes it feels like I'm going the last mile of the journey. But I'm crazy. Sometimes my back is against the wall. And my pillow is soaked with tears, but we're going to praise him.
You bet.
Sometimes family and friends turn their back and I wonder why, but I've learned how to praise him. God dwells in the praises of his people.
Yes, he does.
So when I'm praising the Lord and my heart is broken, I say glory.
Yes, yes.
Glory. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory.
Hallelujah.
And prophecy says there's coming a time when God is going to stand up and tell the angels to shut up. Shh. Somebody. Praising my name. And they really shouldn't be praising me. Why do you say that, God? Because they have hard times. They really shouldn't be praising me because their body is wrecked with pain. They really shouldn't be praising me because I let the enemy have a hold of them. I stepped back a little bit to see where the faith was. They really shouldn't be praising me, son. And Jesus said, why do you say that, Father? Because I let the winds loosed upon them. Tell me, somebody. What does sacrifice mean?
To give something you don't got.
Come on! What does sacrifice mean?
To give something you don't got.
I'm going
to
ask everybody again. What does sacrifice mean?
To give
it all. What does sacrifice mean?
To give something you don't have.
To give it all.
What does sacrifice mean?
To give it all.
To give to the hurts.
To give to the hurts.
That's right.
To give it all.
To give
something dear to you? Sacrifice means to give something you don't have. Do you know what the Bible says, Miranda? That the praises that means the most to God is when you don't have it to give. And when you're hurting, you don't have it to give. When you need that money to pay your bills, you don't feel like saying hallelujah. When your body is hurt with pain, you don't feel like saying hallelujah. When you're in your deathbed and you wonder where God is, you don't feel like saying hallelujah. But God has an angel by your side. He's called a recording angel.
And he's recording everything.
And when he allows you to go through trials, he lets the angel step by you with a pen and he says, these praises that are going up mean the most to me because she's hurt.
Yes.
He's on his deathbed. She's without money. Back is against the wall. Make sure you record every praise. Make sure you record the lifting up of every hand. Make sure you record every thank you, Jesus, and all things give thanks. And it's the will of God and great Jesus to accept you. Make sure you record. Fear not, I'm with you. Fear not, but yet I want you to fear. The love of Jesus is an oxymoron.
Look at that now.
Write down every praise. They were about the fire tires. in his 30 or 40 an hour job at GM. Tyler said, wait, did I say that? Tyler said, fire me. My salvation means more than a meal or a diamond. And because Tyler stood up, everybody at GM is in sackcloth now because of Tyler's. Trailblazer, brother. Tyler said, Pastor, pray with me because I need money to pay my bills, but I'm about to get fired. And I told Tyrus, the Bible says, prove me now, here we go. Shout out with me, everybody. Prove me.
Prove me.
Prove me.
Prove me.
I'm going to prove Jesus.
I'm going to prove him.
His promises are yeah and amen.
Yes, I am.
I'm going to prove Jesus. His word.
His word.
Is sure.
It is.
Shout out with me. I'm going to prove him.
I'm going to prove him.
His promises are yeah and amen.
Yes, I am.
Shout out with me. I'm going to prove him.
I'm going to prove him.
He's a man that cannot lie.
He cannot.
I'm going to prove him.
Yes.
He's a waymaker. I'm going to prove him. He's a burden bearer. I'm going to prove him. He's a healer.
Yes,
I'm going to prove him.
Yes,
he's a lawyer in a courtroom.
I'm going to prove him. That's right.
He's a doctor in a sick room.
Yes, I'm going to prove him.
He's a counselor when I'm weary.
Yes.
He's a doctor when I'm troubled.
He's a
psychiatrist when I feel like everybody is turning their back.
That's
prove
right.
Me now.
That's right.
We are ready.
Say
the Lord of hosts.
That's what he said.
And the Lord says, in everything,
give thanks.
Everybody say thank you.
Thank you.
Say thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lift up your hands. Say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
The Bible said, release, clap their hands. Everybody that's clapping their hands and praising God, I know why you're praising God, because you've never had a problem in your life. I know why you're clapping and praising God, because you've never had trouble. You've never had trials. You've never had pain. I know why you're praising God, because never, ever, anything has ever gone bad in your life.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's not the truth.
Praise is grace. We don't have it to give. Job didn't have it to give.
He lost everything.
But he praised.
I
got to
say it again. Come on, praise the Lord.
Praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him. If God dwells in the praise of his
people,
we will tell you. He won't look for nothing to all the
day.
He wants him to break the yoke of the days and
nights.
He wants him to
come on,
huh?
Yes.
Sing with me,
I plead the blood.
There's power in the name of Jesus.
There's power.
Heal in the name of Jesus.
Heal. I plead the blood.
I plead his name.
Praise his name.
I love right here.
Yes.
Sing, brother, sing. Is he worthy?
Yes.
He's able.
Yes.
Oh,
sing that.
Oh. Separated from him. But he won't hear your prayer. And that's why it says in Proverbs, fear is the beginning of wisdom.
Christ is all in all, more than this world's riches. He is my life, my guiding light, in him do I see.
I heard one answer. gave the right answer. Now, all of y'all had the right answer. Write down what you see. That doubles up and means something different each time. Can I say it again?
Yeah.
There's only one scripture that doubles up and means something different each time. The Bible said this is the whole duty of man, is to fear God
and keep
his commandments. But Jesus says, if you love me,
you feed my sheep.
Keep my commandments and feed my sheep.
Wait, is that an oxymoron? The Bible says the whole duty of man is to
fear God and keep his commandments.
But Jesus says if you love me,
keep my sheep and keep my commandments.
Love and fear
are one in the same.
Are one in the same. Same thing. I love my mother. And yet I fear my mother. I fear that one day I'll be separated from her. Maybe I'll be over here and she's over there. I love my family. I fear. The power of fear is the power of love.
I know that's right, but you love
it. You don't want to be away from
it. Fear and love.
Are one
and
the same.
The same. If you really fear being separated, it's because you really love. Abraham was told by God when he was raised, when he rose, raised tonight and coming down upon his son, Abraham,
don't do it.
Don't do it. I'm just testing you. Now I know
you
fear God.
Well, yeah.
Meaning, he feared being separated from God more than he feared losing his son.
You love me.
And because I see you love me and you fear losing me, don't do your son. Say it with me, fear,
fear.
And love.
And love.
I want to
understand.
I love God.
I love God.
Therefore I fear God.
Therefore I fear God.
I gave only two horns and two spirits. But there are five more horns and five more spirits. And the last of these spirits, and the Bible said that the Lord put upon his son the spirit of fear. And in that spirit, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible said that at that time, the whole world will fear and love God. And when the whole world fears and loves God, guess what everybody's going to do?
Bow down.
Every knee
shall bow.
Every soul
shall confess.
And fear
God.
And love
God.
Oh, stop.
Truth now. Truth. Fear is the beginning of wisdom.
Everybody that says, I don't have to keep the commandments of God, I ain't under the law.
They don't fear God.
And say they love God is a liar.
Thank you. That's right. That's what the Bible says.
Is a liar.
And they don't feel.
And the truth is not in
them. Is a liar.
That's what the Bible says.
As far as comes up, while tithing offerings and to pray over our food, know this, that when you put God first in all things, he's a stock that will never crash.
Come on, man.
He's an investment.
Come on.
You always get dividends.
That will never lose. He's a financier, he's a lawyer, he's a doctor and a counselor, he's all that in his son, amen?
And